We should be a little bit worried about Poland. We are going to discuss that right now on the show, because joining us today on World Football Daily, a man who we haven't had back on this show for a very long time indeed. It's been far too long, though, since he last graced our airwaves. Joining us on the show today to talk all things England-Poland is Mr. Alex Diamond of Bleacher Report, joining us here on WFD. Alex, it's a pleasure to have you back on the show. It's been far too long, and you join us on a big night here for English football, a chance to secure the place in the World Cup, of course. And it's such a big night for Roy Hodgson's men. Alex, cannot wait to get into it with you, mate. How are you? Welcome back. It's been a long time since we had you on World Football Daily, mate.
Yeah, no, it has been a while. It's funny how these things go, but delighted to be back.
There are no grudges or anything like that. Don't worry, we have no beef with you, Fran. So don't you worry about that. We will, I'm sure, be speaking to you in the near future very often indeed. But for tonight, we need to focus on the immediate future for England. A big game against Poland. Some people might be underestimating this Poland side, saying it's a one-man team. What do you make of people who are going into this game with that sort of attitude?
I think it's probably a little bit of a sort of wishful thinking that if you can, I assume the one man is Robert Lewandowski, and think if they can sort of nullify him, then England's victory should be a lot easier. But I mean, yeah, Poland do have more talented players than that. Obviously, Lewandowski's club teammate, Jakub Blaszkowski, he's a fine winger who, I mean, if reports are true that Andros Townsend might not be fit to play, we might see Hodgson opt for a defensive minded midfielder like James Milner to counter his threat. So yeah, it's not just Lewandowski, and obviously they've got three Premier League goalkeepers, which might sort of strike fear into a few hearts, remembering back to 1973.
There's been a lot of talk about that 1973 fixture, and Hodgson's made a point of discussing it with his team. Is it useful to kind of raise that, do you think, to the team going into the game? Or do you think it would have been better to maybe just get your head down and focus on the task at hand rather than thinking about previous histories?
Yeah, I think, I imagine they haven't dwelt on it too long. Roy's at his press conference after the Montenegro game on Friday, the journos were trying to work out where he was for that game. And he needed the date pinned down exactly so he could give them a firm answer. It turned out he was in South Africa and he never saw the game. So obviously it doesn't hold too many bad memories for him. But yeah, I'm sure, I don't think it hurts to just, you know, confront the fact that this is a big game. It will be remembered for a long time, because a lot of these players deal with that at their club level quite frequently. But obviously, yeah, hopefully they haven't been going over it with a fine tooth comb. Just, you know, mention it, move on, and then concentrate tactically on what they need to do to get the result that, you know, doesn't add a second chapter to that history.
If they want to talk about England flops, if you will, against weaker sides, there are plenty of modern examples for them to look at and discuss, which I'm sure many of the players have played in. We did see against Montenegro a much younger, fresher looking England side than we obviously have in the past, with that golden generation going out. And that's been something that the press have called for a reasonable amount of time now. Where does this put Hodgson in terms of, the press have been critical of him, he finally almost did what the press wanted him to do, put out a young, fresh attacking side, and it paid off. I mean, is that Hodgson being vindicated by the press, or the press being vindicated by Hodgson? What does that do for Hodgson as a manager and a reputation?
Oh, it's a great question, a difficult one to read into. I mean, I think the fact is, if they lose tonight and they have to go into the playoffs, and then God forbid they don't make it through the playoffs, it will be for naught. Hodgson will be written off. He may have an outside chance of keeping his job, but he probably will lose it. I think ultimately the Townsend decision, it was quite interesting. He mentioned to the journos that it had been a big debate before the match, and then the journos asked whether, you know, he was the one sort of pushing forward the argument that he should play, or was against it initially, and Hodgson refused to say either way, which rather suggests that maybe people around him were pushing for Townsend to come in. But I think, you know, the way it panned out, Hodgson hasn't been afraid to give young players a chance in the squad, not so much play them. But I think, you know, whether the media has pushed him into that decision, but now it's sort of reaped such rewards, I'm sure he'll continue to play young players where he can, where they're fit. And I think the fact he dropped Jack Wilshere shows that perhaps he's doing things you know, less about what the media say and more what he thinks is right for each individual match.
You've also got the Andros Townsend, as you say, kind of fanaticalism that's been in the press surrounding him. I mean, he's suddenly the best English player since sliced bread, kind of thing. We've seen Townsend coming on, and he did very well with QPR last year. But is it too easy to be putting a lot of eggs in the Townsend basket just after one performance and a great goal, obviously?
Yeah, I think on Friday with Walcott injured, same with Oxlade-Chamberlain, and obviously Aaron Lennon's been out since the beginning of the season, is just coming back. Obviously, there's a case to be made that Townsend was our best option on the right wing, and he played and he made the most. I do think the long term, obviously Walcott comes back, he'll probably go back into the first choice role, and Townsend will have to fight. If we do get to the World Cup with the likes of Oxlade-Chamberlain for another wing spot, and a cynic might say that the fact we've had these reports from Hodgson that Townsend's carrying a knock might be a bit of a, you know, an invention to make it easier for him to drop him for this game to play, you know, a more tactically defensive-minded midfielder like Milner, who would seem the obvious guy to bring in, as much as the media wouldn't like that.
Milner's obviously that defensive-minded, and it was heavily criticised Hodgson for bringing Milner in against Ukraine instead of Townsend. But as a work ethic goes, for Hodgson tonight, surely it is about playing the safer bet, which would be Milner, because he can play across that midfield and help out and support in defensively. Whether we like it or not from an aesthetic point of view, would that be the right decision, do you think, to make considering the situation?
I think it's difficult. I mean, obviously, yeah, he played against Ukraine, and that match now, you know, if we'd lost that one, then we'd basically be heading for the playoffs. And I think, you know, with that knowledge now, I think no one would go back and say, oh, he should have probably put an extra attacker in instead of a midfielder and ground out a 0-0. Everyone's very happy with that now to leave this situation, or reasonably happy anyway. I think it depends whether Hodgson sees this game as the same as Montenegro, a must-win game where you have to go out and attack from the off, or he's happy to ensure they don't concede and then, you know, try and win it over sort of maybe in the second half, because Milner will solidify things probably down the left against Blazakowski, who is, you know, a very incisive attacker. But obviously, going the other way, he won't offer so much support to Leighton Baines as Danny Welbeck did, for example, on Friday. So it's about the balancing act. I would have thought Hodgson, his tendency would probably be to go for Milner, but I think if Townsend is fit, he probably won't want to change anything apart from obviously Walker suspended, so Phil Jones or Smalling come in at right back.
What about the left back situation as well, Alex? Because there are obviously long term repercussions in the run up to Brazil with Leighton Baines playing in that left back role, and not only that, but playing exceptionally well. Is it becoming tougher and tougher to put Ashley Cole back in at left back when Baines keeps putting in these performances for the national team?
Yeah, it certainly is. I think Baines, obviously, you give Andros Townsend was man of the match on Friday for his goal and his role in the first goal. But I think Baines was probably the other standout performer for England. And in the Premier League, he's always one of England's best players. There's a case to be made that, you know, two of England's best five players at the moment are left backs. I think it was interesting before the Montenegro game, Phil Jagielka wouldn't come out and say that Baines should now be the first choice ahead of Cole, not, you know, slighting his teammate, just saying that Cole's never really failed to produce for England, which is a fair comment. I think it's an interesting one if we do get through and we do qualify for the World Cup tonight, how Hodgson looks at that area in friendlies to come. I think it's not impossible we'll see both in the same team, Cole as a left back and Baines push further forward, because he's a great attacker as well, as he showed on Friday, and I imagine he'll show tonight. And his free kicks, he might be the best free kick taker in England at the moment, which is another weapon at World Cups where goals, you know, are not necessarily flowing.
It will it'll be interesting to see if Baines can maintain that left-back spot, or as you say, Alex, be pushed into that midfield role. Talking of kind of areas on the pitch, where are the areas, the key areas for England tonight to win? There are plenty of battles, obviously, whether you think it's a one-man side, Poland, or not. But where do England have to be dominant on this pitch tonight?
Well, I think, yeah, obviously how Jagielka and Cahill deal with Lewandowski is going to be one key element in terms of keeping a clean sheet. I think Blazikowski down the right, how he is handled, whether that doesn't mean Milner comes in and plays on the left and tracks him, helping Baines. But I think we're probably going to see Gerrard and Lampard again as a central midfield pairing, which I have long-term concerns about. I think they, you know, they're not really, they're two similar players. Neither quite have the legs these days. And it'll be, you know, interesting to see and important that they manage to kind of work in tandem efficiently and don't start passing too laterally. You know, this is a game we need to win. And there was times against Montenegro where they both were getting the ball in dangerous areas, but they were passing sideways rather than sort of looking to break down the defence a bit. So I think how that midfield pairing provides the platform for the attackers, because England at the moment have got a sort of a great array of attackers, but how they provide them with the chances to break down defence, that'll be key for getting the victory, I think.
They might want to look maybe at the under-21 squad. There's plenty of talk, of course, about Ravel Morrison at the moment in England, and plenty of talk as well about Wilfried Zaha and his ability to get into the Manchester United squad and improve his own game personally. With United, they stumbled with Pogba, allowed him to go, and he's been excellent at Juventus. Ravel Morrison has done excellently at West Ham. Are they looking at maybe Wilfried Zaha? Are they possibly going to waste him? A talent they brought in for a considerable amount of money.
Well, it's interesting. I think the problem, once you move to a big club, you know, when he was at Crystal Palace, especially in the Championship, he had a lot of freedom attacking. And if he lost the ball, it wasn't the end of the world. And if he didn't track back, then he could be covered for because he offered so much more in attack. I think you move to Manchester United and suddenly, you know, your training is as much about where you're positioned when the team doesn't have the ball as with it. And your decision making in the final third is analysed extensively, and losing the ball in the wrong areas in the Premier League, you know, counter-attack and it's a goal. So I think he's probably had to adapt. And David Moyes initially, I think he was on the bench for the United's first Premier League game, but since then he's been out of the squad. I think maybe we are looking towards him getting loaned in January, but I'm sure they haven't quite written him off just yet. It's just a case of getting him a bit more tactically up to the level they need as an elite Premier League side.
Let's hope that Wilfried Zaha doesn't become another person to be left out of the sidelines of a big club and end up rejuvenating his career somewhere else, maybe at a later stage, rather than seeing him improve and boost on right now. Alex, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you back on World Football Daily, my man. We always enjoy catching up with some of the guests that we haven't had on in a long time, and this certainly was an absolute pleasure to have a quick chat with you about the build-up to the big game. Can you give us a score prediction before you go, mate?
I said in my preview yesterday, I think I'll stick with 2-0 England. I think it might be late two goals, but we'll get the job done in the end.
As long as they're there in Brazil 2014, I'm sure that's all the country cares about. Alex, a pleasure, mate. We look forward to catching up with you very soon indeed, man. And we will keep tabs with you as we progress through the Premier League season as well, mate.
Brilliant. Thanks. Cheers.
Cheers, mate. Alex Diamond there joining us here on World Football Daily, talking all things England against Poland. Tonight's big game at Wembley, all important for Roy Hodgson's men as they look to book themselves a place in the World Cup and in Brazil. A win tonight and they are through, topping the group above the Ukraine, who take on San Marino this evening. Robert Lewandowski in Poland, though, have said they want to make the job difficult for England. Rumours as well just coming out in the last few minutes, and actually as we were talking there to Alex, that apparently there is a rumour that it won't be Gerrard and Lampard partnering in the centre midfield, and apparently Michael Carrick will be given the role alongside Steven Gerrard in the heart of that England midfield. Changes afoot then for this England side. Will Andros Townsend be fit and be able to continue what was a fantastic start to his England career after he lit up Wembley with that incredible strike against Montenegro? That will all be decided tonight, but we should be moving away from England for a moment, because there's a side that may play in blue, but I don't think they are very blue right about now. It's, of course, the Azzurri of Italy, booked their place in Brazil 2014. Did so well at the Confederations Cup as well. Unfortunately, they might have a troublesome Mario Balotelli on their hands. His season hasn't started as well as it did as it ended last season in Milan. And we've seen a bit of the old Balotelli coming back. And maybe will that cause trouble for the Azzurri? Will Francesco Totti be put in the Italy squad as well for the World Cup? We want to get some answers to some of these questions. And there's a man joining us today who will hopefully give us those answers. Yes, on the line right now here on World Football Daily, I'm delighted to say the Serie A commentator, Calcio and Coffee as well, writer. It is, of course, Mr. Richard Whittle joining us here on the line to talk all things Italian football here on World Football Daily. Richard, it's a pleasure to have you back on board, mate. How have you been enjoying the international break?
Well, wonderful. I was down in Rome enjoying a small break, my birthday celebrations down in Rome, and enjoying the atmosphere down there around Roma's great start to the season, of course, and generally just enjoying life in Italy over these last few days, but getting ready, of course, for tonight, and then, of course, for the big weekend ahead, back to business.
I was going to say, we do get back to Serie A business, and I want to get into that with you in a moment, but obviously it's the international break. We need to talk about Italy. Booked their place already into Brazil 2014. A 2-2 draw against Denmark. Obviously, not a great result, but I guess on the road, you'll take a point. And it wasn't exactly the toughest Italian side that was fielded on last Friday. What did you make of the performance?
Well, naturally, with Italy already qualified, the concentration levels drop a little bit. That's to be expected. And in the end, it gave Prandelli an opportunity to look at some other players as well. And, as you say, coming away from Denmark, it's always a tough place anyway to get results. And 2-2 in the end, although I think Prandelli would have expected more. But once Italy are in Brazil, things will be different, as we know. Italy, as they said, don't play friendlies. I know that match wasn't a friendly, of course, but with qualification already in the bag, there was a slight, a more relaxed approach. I think this evening it'll be a lot different because it'll want to bounce back. It won't want two sort of negative performances in a row. And of course, for the players who are out there, they're not going to get many chances really to impress at international level now until the World Cup. So they want to put in a good performance this evening.
I think that was something that was a little bit surprising about the approach to the Denmark game, was that we've seen with the US men's national team, the players who don't normally get a chance are really trying to push themselves, with the USA already qualified for the World Cup next year, and trying to push their way into Jurgen Klinsmann's kind of focus. Didn't get that same feeling that some of these players were trying to really attract the attention of Prandelli. Do you think it will completely change tonight against an Armenia side that Italy will be expected to roll over?
Well, I'd expect so. Also, it's back at home. It's down in Naples as well. And as we know, Naples is a football-mad city. And at the moment, Napoli going so well in the league, there's going to be a massive turnout. And, Naples has always got behind the Azzurri. And I think we'll see a different performance this evening. I think there'll be a lot more vigour in it. There'll be a lot more willingness to express themselves. And I think they'll want to end the campaign on a really positive note. And also, it will give them, going into Brazil as the top team, also picking up a lot of points as well, is a big boost for Italy as well. It doesn't always happen, sometimes they almost limp into World Cups, but this is nice for a change to go in a positive frame of mind, in a relaxed frame of mind. But also tonight, as you expect, Armenia as well, no disrespect to them, but you expect it. Italy maybe to put two or three goals past them and put in a really positive performance.
What are the changes? Who do you think is going to be coming off that subs bench and being put into the starting lineup possibly and given a chance to showcase themselves on the international stage this evening, Richard?
Well, there's opportunities for a lot of players to really step in and show what they can do up front, especially with the return of Giuseppe Rossi. I think that's so important for Italy. It's something that Italy, maybe you'd look at the team and they become up front too reliable on Mario Balotelli. So they need the backup. You've got Osvaldo, who's doing very well. And he's a player who we thought maybe leaving Italy, going to Southampton, would drift away from the international scene. But Prandelli made it clear to him that that wasn't a problem, and he's answered the call very well. But I think we're all eyes really looking at a player like Giuseppe Rossi to really impress and, you know, to find the back of the net and give Prandelli that other option as well. If he wants to go just playing one up front in matches, you know, in World Cups, he'll have to change the tactics, one feels, in for different matches. He may go for two up front, one up front, two supporting, depending on the opposition. So he'll want to have enough players going forward, you know, forwards that can step in and fill those positions. I think in the midfield and defence are pretty well covered as it stands. Injuries, of course, can always disrupt things, but Italy very solid in midfield and defence. It's just the attack that needs to be maybe sharpened up a little bit.
Now, you mentioned obviously Mario Balotelli in that Italian attack, and there is obviously quite a lot of pressure riding on him, both international level and at club level. We haven't seen Balotelli be the same Balotelli from the end of last season. We've seen that loose cannon come out on a few occasions for Milan this year. Do you think that's going to have a negative impact if the season carries on in the way it started for Balotelli on him in the Italy squad for next summer?
Well, I personally, I think, you know, there's been so much pressure put on Balotelli and a lot of negative pressure as well that... unfortunately, he's reacted to that in a massive fallout at club level, which was pretty bad to see in the Milan-Napoli match. And in that match, you knew the Napoli players were really getting at him. And Balotelli was still by far the best player on the pitch. There's no doubt about that he's still Italy's biggest star. And he's become more than just a footballer, hasn't he? We've seen him mentioned, in Newsweek and... Sports Illustrated. So he's beginning to get that international following, especially in the States, which takes him away from just being a mere sportsman. And I think maybe that pressure is beginning to tell upon him. And certainly at club level, if Milan really struggling as well, that hasn't helped the pressures on his shoulders. So it'll be very important for Balotelli really to get back onto the football pitch. For example, this evening, score a couple of goals and feel good about himself. Because one feels that's something that, although he's playing very well, he doesn't feel he has the backing of everyone. And I think he's that type of guy who needs that sort of support. He certainly gets it from Prandelli. So from that footballing point of view at the international level, looking ahead again to Brazil, you know, Prandelli will make sure that he is looked after, and then hopefully these outside influences will drop into the background a little bit more and allow Mario Balotelli to show his true class, because this is the great stage. What, he's 23, you know? Mm. World Cup's come around every 4 years, as we know. Next time you're 27, 23, to be a big star at the World Cup will be something wonderful. So I'm sure as we get towards the World Cup, hopefully things will calm down.
For football's sake, I think we all hope that it will calm down and we'll see the best of Balotelli once again. Another player who we maybe are seeing the best of once again, and definitely there was talk about him being involved in the Italy squad either for these World Cup qualifiers or for Brazil 2014 in the last month or so. Francesco Totti, a man you obviously are a big fan of, Richard. Totti, his start of the season has been fantastic. He finished last year extremely well with Roma, who are just riding this wave of confidence. Should he be put and be brought into this Italian national team? Do you think he has earned it, that Prandelli should be thinking about bringing him in, at least taking him in the squad?
Well, there's no doubt about it that if you know, if you were naming an Italy squad, Francesco Totti would have to be in the squad. He's been by far the best player in Serie A this season so far. I know we're only into round seven of the season has just passed. We've had the international break, but what a start he's made, and what an influence he's been on Roma, and also adapting his game under Rudy Garcia. He would definitely give Prandelli an extra option, something that we were talking about just previously, where they're not always relying on Mario Balotelli. The big question mark would be, of course, would Francesco Totti and Mario Balotelli gel? This is a massive question mark that's hanging over Prandelli. Of course, Totti is a big character in Italian football. But having said that, not a person with a big ego, but of course would be expected to, he would expect to play his part in the team. I could see if Prandelli's going to take him, he would have to change the way Italy play, with play more like the Roma style, where everything goes through Totti and then on to the forward players, which would change a lot of things for Italy, because everything goes through Pirlo, and it's more the direct approach, if you like, towards Balotelli, who doesn't always bring other players into the game and tries to do everything himself, almost an individual within the team. So from that side, it's a tricky one for Prandelli, but certainly in terms of his form, his influence, and just the person he is, he certainly deserves to be going to the World Cup. There's no doubt about that.
You said, obviously, Roma having a stellar start to the season, Richard, and let's just focus on some of the domestic games coming up this weekend, because it doesn't get much bigger at this moment in Serie A than the Friday night fixture. Roma against Napoli, unbeaten, unfazed, 100% perfect Roma taking on Napoli first against second. And really, under Rudy Garcia, this Roma side, it may have changed going forward slightly, but it's defensively that's impressing so much, especially after last year. They were so leaky.
Well, of course, if you think, well, Zdenek Zeman as the master of attack, all-out attack, if you win the 4-3, that's fine by him. But unfortunately for Roma, there were more defeats than victories. And then the same with Luis Enrique, who wanted to play a different style of play as well. Both failed in their attempts. Certainly Rudy Garcia is more pragmatic, isn't he? The defence is a lot stronger. A reason for that is that he doesn't encourage the fullbacks to get forward that much. They sit back a lot more and cover their positions. And then the two central defenders also just sit in there as well and are very strong and have the confidence to bring the ball out. And then the midfield drops back to cover the defence, things they just didn't have under Zeman. And also, as talking that pragmatic approach under Rudy Garcia, if there isn't the opening for the attack or to take the ball forward, they'll start again, go back. It's a little bit more of a patient game than we've seen in the past from Roma. It's not as spectacular, one might say, than maybe under Luciano Spalletti, when they finished the runners-up for a couple of seasons, or even under Zeman their last season. But it's a much more winning formula, as we've seen. And the fact that they've only conceded one goal so far is pretty incredible. I think that's the best record in Europe, in the top European leagues. And at the other end, they've hit 20 goals as well. And players have come into the side that we didn't know a lot about, really, or felt that maybe they wouldn't adapt to Italian football, such as Gervinho, who's come back again working with Rudy Garcia, which he did at Lille, and he has been absolutely amazing. And also the change with Florenzi, pushed a little bit further forward, and then pulling the strings all around the pitch, Francesco Totti, who now has players that he believes in, he has confidence in, such as Pjanic, Strootman, and Gervinho, that he can just play the simple ball, keep himself involved and not feel that he has to do everything for the team. So that's been one of the big secrets as well for Roma so far.
Cynics will say, and Italian football always gets tarnished with the brush of, oh, it's defensive, etc. And you can look at Roma and say, without the fullbacks pushing on, etc., it isn't as attractive, it's not as aggressive, and it is a step backwards in terms of aesthetically pleasing. But with the goals that they're scoring and the style of football through the middle they're playing, is it silencing any critics that you find from outside of Italy who maybe always try and tarnish the brush, the Italian football, with that brush of it being boring defensive football?
Well, you know, obviously I can't really speak for people outside of Italy, but certainly for myself, from covering Italian football for many a decade, this Roma side are very spectacular. If you just think of that that third goal against Inter 2 weeks ago, when the move started on the edge of their area, and 4 seconds later, Florenzi was knocking the ball into the back of the Inter net, and the move was started by Francesco Totti on the edge of his own area with a little flick. Strootman sprinting across the halfway line. There were three players in support. One of them was Castan, the centre-back, Gervinho and Florenzi, with Strootman going forward, and it ended up with a goal. There's nothing more spectacular than that in football, and certainly I will always support Italian football for not only being a tough league where defenders don't give anything away, but also a very skillful league. To work your way into scoring positions in Italian football, I think, is more difficult than you would get in Spain or in the Premier League.
Richard, we described the Inter-Roma game as the acid test, if you will, for Inter. Is this Napoli game for Roma their acid test to show whether they are able to compete with Napoli and Juventus, who are the two that are expected to be going for the Scudetto this season?
Well, I said it's an acid test for both sides, really. Napoli have only dropped 2 points. A draw at home against Sassuolo. That was a big surprise, of course. But I think that for Roma, they've won the derby. Now, that was massive. I think that was such a big victory for their confidence and the belief within the players, also the belief in the coach. Then they went to Inter, and I think that Rudy Garcia said, give me the first 45 minutes and really go at Inter. And then after that, we'll defend and play on the break. And I think that was another boost. I think this match again at home in the of course in the Olympic Stadium, where it's a sellout at both ends of the pitch, at the Curva Sud, Curva Nord as well, which is hardly ever heard of, even for the derby. I think if Roma can force the issue against Napoli and take up the 3 points, then you're beginning to believe that they can do something special, because after that the fixture list is pretty good for them. And then before the winter break, they've got Milan away, which is also a big match. And if they can get through there in the top two, they've got Juventus at the start of the new year. And then, of course, after that, if they get a good result there, then you can start thinking maybe this is a team that could be going for the Scudetto. And certainly for Napoli. Also, the big thing, really, is just for Napoli, of course, they've got to think of the Champions League. Roma don't have any problems with that. So Rudy Garcia can say, I'm going to put out my best 11 every week. We have no worries about that. While Juventus and Fiorentina, Napoli, Milan, they've got European commitments. So they've got to make the turnover in their team. So it'll be interesting to see how Benitez approaches this match at Rome. Because Napoli, sometimes on the road, have been a little bit fragile mentally. If he can get the mental approach right, they could come away with something from the Olympic Stadium.
Just one last question, Richard, before we let you go, if that's okay. The Fiorentina,
no problem.
The Fiorentina Juventus game on Sunday is, of course, the other huge Serie A tie this weekend. For Fiorentina, is it a time for them to kind of step up and show their credentials? It's not been the emphatic start that many were predicting going into the season.
Yes, definitely. This is their, you were saying before about Roma and Inter being a defining moment. This for Fiorentina is there, I feel, at this stage of the season, a defining moment. We're getting in now into a stage of the season where the players have got their match fitness and they've got their form. And as you say, Fiorentina, they've played some wonderful football. There's no doubt about that. But it's still the old failings. Some of that can be down to the fact that they've had the injuries. You know, Giuseppe Rossi again picking up an injury, coming back. Mario Gomez out just when he looked as if he was beginning to find his form in the back of the net. He was out injured. Pizarro's had a lot of injuries. And I think that's just disrupted them a little bit. Also, I'm not too confident in their goalkeeper, Neto. He's made too many elementary mistakes. And you can play as well as you want, but if your goalkeeper's going to let you down, it's always going to go against you. But I feel this is a massive match, more so for Fiorentina than Juventus. Of course, there's a big rivalry between the two clubs, more so from Fiorentina's side than Juventus. But that's always the way with Juventus. And I feel that Juve, of course, looking towards Europe as well. They might make a lot of changes as well. And Antonio Conte, he could come away there. If he comes away with a 1-0 victory and Juve just get the result, that's the most important thing for him. But I think Fiorentina will continue to play well, but they've got to start picking up the results.
I'll tell you what, it's quite an apt topic to leave that on, you just quickly discussing their goalkeepers making mistakes and on a night for England when Joe Hart is renowned for making mistakes at the moment and England needs some big performances from their players against Poland tonight. I think it's more than fitting that we leave it on that nice unifying link for us to move in to talk about England this evening. But Richard, we appreciate you joining us here on WFD and talking to us about not only the Azzurri tonight and from last week, but also the Serie A weekend coming up that we are all going to have our eyes glued to this coming weekend, mate.
Okay, always a pleasure to be on.
It's always a pleasure to listen to your voice, Richard. Thank you so much, mate. Take care, and we will catch up with you very soon indeed.
Okay, bye.
Thank you. Richard Whittle there joining us here on World Football Daily, talking all things Italian football. Of course, the Azzurri taking on Armenia tonight, and back to regular club football action with...